do that again.
I hope not. Thank you. I appreciate everyone coming. Our second week in a row, which is the first time in a row we have a little winning streak. And I remember to photocopy the Chofetz Chaim's this week. Tonight, we'll see the Chofetz Chaim perhaps of the most practical halachos of Lashon Hara, which is A, is there a heter of getting things off my chest? You hear people say that a lot. Psychologically, it's important for me to speak this out with someone. It's killing me. I can't keep it bottled inside. Is there a heter to talk Lashon? Is that called toelis? Until now, we've seen toelis is if there's a purpose to prevent a bad partnership, to prevent a bad shidduch, other type, to prevent someone from having influence on other people when they shouldn't be having influence. Is there a heter called called getting off my chest? And is there a difference between a spouse and not? How does that play out, which comes up very frequently? And then we'll try to, if we have time, get to practically what to do if you're in a situation and people are talking Lashon Hara. What are your options?
What about a therapist?
We'll talk most about group therapy is even a bigger problem. But let's see. If you take a look at page 1, if you remember from last week, the Chofetz Chaim had said, and I apologize, I didn't post last week's shiur until this afternoon, the Chofetz Chaim said that not only is there a prohibition to believe Lashon Hara, there's a separate prohibition not to listen to Lashon Hara. So if that's true, points out the Chofetz Chaim, the obvious problem. Val yihyeh lepela be'enei ha'korei. Don't let it be a wonder in the eyes of those who are reading this. In came, eich nucha latzeis b'zei de shemayim. You're stuck. How could a person ever be okay? Kevan shegadarta aleinu es haderech da'afilu shmiya levad b'gnus chaveru aser. If you're going to tell me, and I told you, that there's a prohibition just to hear Lashon Hara, but perhaps what they're going to tell me is important for me to know. So what am I going to do? I can't listen, because that's a prohibition of Lashon Hara, but I don't know if it's mutter to listen to it until I listen to it. But I can't listen to it. So what am I supposed to do? Tshuva l'davar, says the Chofetz Chaim. If someone wants to be good, if someone wants to do right when it comes to hearing Lashon Hara, Yisnai Kach, he should act as follows. Someone comes to you and wants to speak poorly about their friend. And you understand, and you could tell, you get the sense that he wants to speak badly about an individual. So what should he do? It's not a huge chachma, it's very simple. Yish'alenu mitchila. Ask him first. In the Indian shat, the roots of the saperli, yenogeli alaba, is what you're going to tell me important for me to know for the future? Is there a purpose? Oh, she'ucha l'sakin esedavar behochacha. Is this something I can fix through rebuke? Okay, yotzeb is that. Mechanal or other possibilities when it would make it mutter to speak Lashon Hara. So ask him. I think this is very prevalent as a rabbi, because people come to complain. People come and they like to point out the problems. I mean, not every day, but probably more frequently than they do. And not every complaint that a person tells the rabbi is l'toelis. If the rabbi, it's really true for any individual, can help. If they could rebuke the person, if they could solve the situation, then okay, then please continue and let me hear it. But if it's just because they want to rant and rave and complain, so then you tell them that. So in Yomar Lav Shunogei Lo Ala Ba, Oshu Yachol Sakin Esedavar, if he tells you, yes, it is something that you need to know for the future, or you could fix the matter, Mutter L'Shmoa, then you're allowed to listen, V'lo Ya'amin Le'isata, Rak Lachish, you can't believe it. Because even when it's mutter to hear the Lashon Hara, you can't believe the Lashon Hara, rak lachash, you could suspect, you could be concerned. Actually, it's bar hadavar until you clarify, until you ascertain the truth. If you understand from his answer that there won't be a purpose, or the guy is just stam, yelling and screaming and ranting and raving, Shumali Allah Alilos Paresh Maganos Machmas Godos and Us so the guy is just yelling and screaming, he hates him, he has a problem with this individual, so then Usr Afilu Lishmo. Then it becomes forbidden to even listen to the Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim in the note in the Haggah, we're not gonna read inside. He says it's very important because if a person, even when he's not going to believe the Lashon Hara, to just be like an ear, so it's encouraging him to speak Lashon Hara more. But if when someone comes over to us to speak, we pause for a minute and say, what I'm saying? Do I need to know this? Is this really important? Can I really help the situation? So that's going to now, hopefully, the individual, if he's a normal, sane person, will think twice before speaking Lashon Hara again in the future.
Have you ever had a person, have you asked that question, the person says not to us? I mean, it seems like many people always think there's a purpose.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the more sensitive to halacha they are, you know, we're all human, so we all sometimes lose ourselves and want to speak Lashon Hara, and yeah, man, it's not really Latuelis. But most people think it's Latuelis, and often it's not, so we just have to...
They come to you, they think.
So we have to train ourselves to just pause.
But they want to speak it, or they just start talking and... Don't realize that, and then all of a sudden, that's usually
a good indicator. Usually, when it's something important, they'll say, "Can we talk later? Can we have a conversation about something?" But when it comes up, agav in conversation, that's usually when a person has something with toelos. Usually, it's thought out and it's deliberate, as opposed to just shooting the breeze. So that's point number one in the Chafetz Chaim. The next sif is very important. Where it says number two, ulupamim mitzvah l'shmo. So until now we've said that at times, if the guy tells you it's important, so that you're allowed to listen, but sometimes there's a mitzvah to listen to Lashon Hara, not a bad mitzvah. When is it a mitzvah? Mitzvah l'shmo mashiach masapir divrei mitzvah chaver. Sometimes it's a mitzvah. Kigon, for example, shehu mishaer, a person determines. By you hearing the matter in full, sometimes, by you listening to the Lashon Hara, let's say someone starts talking. They start talking Lashon Hara. You could stop them right now, save him from talking Lashon Hara, save yourself from hearing Lashon Hara. But by you hearing the whole story, you now might have the ability to stop it. You might have the ability to help him realize that maybe the story is not the way he understood it. You might be able to tell all the listeners, let's say it's in front of the whole table, and they finish telling the story, you could say, that's actually not true. I know so-and-so happened. Or, whoa, why are you assuming like this? Perhaps there's some limud zuchus, there's some purpose that the person acted in that way. So by you letting the person finish the story, it could be you'll squash it, it'll end at this table, and it won't go on, and he won't go tell more people. So that is a time when it's a mitzvah to listen to it. In the Dirshu, they quotes an example from Zilberstein. There was a lady on a bus in Eretz Yisrael, and she two women in front of her, two college-age girls, were talking about their friend who got engaged, and they were saying negative things about the chassan. The chassan's really poor, he can't hold the job. They're really talking negatively. So the lady in front of them or behind them stopped them, said, Slicha, you should just know that the chassan you're talking about is my son. And they got like white in the face. They like were shaking. We're so sorry. We didn't really mean it. We were exaggerating. It's not really true. Don't worry. The lady said, okay, I just want to let you know it's not really my son, but it's someone's son. And look what you could do. You could destroy a person through your words. So if you take the Chafetz Chaim before this paragraph, once that lady hears the Lashon Hara, she should really move out of the way. She should stop listening. But by her listening to the rest of the story, she had the ability to squash it. Certain people have that koach. They have the koach of Aaron HaKohen. They're able to make peace. So a person might start telling you Lashon Hara, and already in your mind, you're thinking, I can make peace here. I'm going to be able to stop this person from speaking again. I'm going to be able to prevent further Lashon Hara. I'm going to be able to prevent further Machlokes. So let me listen to the rest of the story so I know how to make it better.
So that's okay?
That's not okay. It's a mitzvah. Okay. It's a mitzvah.
So it's like... It's a great opening to start listening to.
Right. Well, again, we have to know ourselves and we have to be honest with ourselves. And the post will say, even if you're not going to stop at 1,000%, but you're going to make it a little bit better. Maybe the person now only tells a couple people and not tells the whole world. So that's also, that becomes a mitzvah. It's basically, you're allowing the person to do an avera to save him from future averas. Right? By you listening, you're violating listening to avera to mikshol. By you giving him the listening ear, he's doing an avera of speaking Lashon Hara. But by you letting him speak Lashon Hara one time, you can stop him from speaking Lashon Hara 100 more times, so that becomes a mitzvah. The next case is what we started with. This is very important. V'od yesh ofen acher gam kein de mitzvah l'shmoa. They're in the bottom of page 2. This is the second paragraph. There's another situation where it's a mitzvah to listen. Kigon, in ba'echa l'fanav likbal achaver meza davar. Someone comes to you and he's yelling about his friend. He's screaming, he's blasting his friend. He wronged you. And I recognize about the one speaking Lashon Hara, by me giving him my ear, letting him vent, letting him get it off his chest, his anger will subside. There's certain people, they're in like that fit of rage, right? They're so angry, they're so upset that someone did something to them. By them getting it off their chest, and by you listening, their anger will be squashed. Below Yashiv, turning the page, Od l'saper l'anashim acherim, he won't tell other people. U'bezeh yisrabeh hashalom b'Yisrael. Through that, there'll be shalom, says the Chafetz Chaim. As long as you don't believe it, it's going to be mutter. So, this happens. Someone gets, something happens to someone, they're wronged, and they're very angry at someone, and they're like, it's them against the world. They're going to start, this happens, a person loses a job, or gets a pay cut, or gets a demotion, or the gabbai does something to them in shul, or the person in charge of the facility rental in the shul wrongs them, whatever, and everyone's running around, and he's gonna go crazy. By him coming to you and getting off his chest, okay, he might be calm and he'll not tell other people. So says the Chafetz Chaim, so that's mutter for you to listen to that Lashon. You're not helping him. You're not helping him. The first case, you were able to take that information and tell him, don't worry about it. We can be malam mitzuchos, dam lechaf zuchos. It's not so bad. Here, you're not going to say a word. You're not going to squash the machlokes. You're not going to appease him. But by you being a listening ear, the guy gets it off his chest. Again, you have to know. If you think through that, he's now not going to tell anybody else. Again, you're helping by listening to the Lashon Hara. Based on this, the discussion arises. Let's say a person comes to you and says, I need to get this off my chest. Or let's say you need to get something off your chest. Are you allowed? Are you allowed to say the Lashon Hara to get it off your chest so you're calm and you don't go ahead and tell anyone else? So if you take a look, page 6. This is a piece from the Chafetz Chaim much later on. Klal Yud. Hopefully we'll get there. The Chafetz Chaim is giving you a lot of scenarios where it's mutter to talk or listen to Lashon Hara. And if you take a look at the bottom of page 6 by the arrow, the Chafetz Chaim writes, Ve'efsher, it's possible, to Hu Adin, similarly, in Kavanaso B'Sipuro Lehafeg Es Da'agaso Milibo. If the purpose, if your intent in telling the Lashon Hara is to, what's lahafeg, to get rid of or to minimize the worry in your heart, it becomes like a case of tu'elas. Efshir dehu adinim kavanaso lahafeg es dagaso milibo. If the intent is to remove a worry, a concern, a fear, an anxiety, to get it off the chest, it's going to be, it's efsher, it's going to be mutter. Now the key word in that sentence is efsher. What does efsher mean? It's possible. So the Rav Nissen Karelitz was a big dayan in Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish's nephew, I believe. Rav Nissen Karelitz says that it means it's mutter. It's mutter. When the Chafetz Chaim, and he brings a couple examples, when the Chafetz Chaim tells us a chiddush, that's his own chiddush, that's not sourced, so the Chafetz Chaim will often write efsher. He doesn't want to be, to say it's everything the Chafetz Chaim says, he has a source for it, in Gemaras and Zohars and Rishonim and Achronim. Here it's his own chiddush, so the Chafetz Chaim writes efsher, but says in this in Karelitz, it's going to be mutter. Mutter if it's to remove daga mi libo. So that becomes very important. Certain people don't have that problem. Right? The Gemara says when a person has a, it's a Gemara in Sota, when a person has a worry in their heart, there are two ways to approach it. Either there's, right, it's either mesiach with a samach or mesiach with a sin. Forget about it. I think there's two approaches in psychology. To try to forget about what happened, don't let it bother you, remove it from your mind. The other approach is talk about it. So that Gemara, talk about it with other people. Sometimes that can be very therapeutic, very helpful for a person to talk. This is going to be why it's mutter to talk to a therapist. A person is going to go to a therapist and tell them things their father did, their mother did, their friend did, their spouse did. What's the Lashon Hara? Because if a person needs, has daga belibo, a person has a worry, an anxiety, a fear, a concern, an anger in their heart, and by speaking it out, it's going to help them get over that. So says the Chafetz Chaim, it's going to be mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others, Rav Huttner, they say for a spouse, it's 100% mutter. Why? Because one of the shibudim, one of the obligations, the marital obligations, is to make sure our spouse is okay. Make sure to emotionally and psychologically take care of them. If a spouse is hurting, it's our responsibility to help them get over that. So he says it can't be the Torah forbade to speak to a spouse about something that happened because of Lashon Hara, because that would fly in the face. That would uproot the obligation to tend to and care for a spouse. Now, that's not true if it's something about like protecting our honor. Meaning, if I'm angry, let's use me as an example. It just doesn't happen because people in the shul are very nice and I don't really care about my cupboard. But if people came and someone did something to me, to tell my wife is probably not smart. Because then what could I, and my wife won't do this either, but then she might see this guy or the spouse of this person, and often we get really worked up for the kavod of a spouse. But if there's situations where something's really bothering me, someone did something in a way that's not because of my kavod, or I saw something and it's really troubling me. My wife, your husband, your spouse can't necessarily help the situation. They're not a rabbi, they're not a doctor, they're not a therapist, but it's really eating at a person. It says with Shlomo Zalman or Huttner that it's going to be permissible to speak that out with a spouse. A therapist is okay. I saw a very interesting conversation about group therapy, because that becomes a little tricky, because the therapist, so that therapist, that's a little toelis, the therapist can help a person fix the situation, help the situation, deal with the situation. But the four of the people in the room, so what? They're not helping me. So Rav Nissen Karelitz, if I'm understanding it correctly, you can take a look later on page 10. I think he's saying it is not allowed. I think. Certainly the way that the Dirshu Chafetz Chaim presents it, I think what he means, tipul kvutzati. I'm assuming that means group therapy, right? Tipul kvutzati. Shemesaper bekvutzal abayot shalo and beno benzugo. So then, Rav Nissen Karelitz says that it's not allowed. I spoke to the head of guidance at JC, Dr. Kivi Perlman, who speaks all over. He's very involved in Amudim and many organizations. He doesn't do anything without speaking to Rav Elia Brudny of the Mir Brooklyn, and he told me that the psak he got and all the from therapists got is that group therapy is permissible, is allowed, because part of the therapy is talking it out with other people. The other people in the group, and I don't understand the psychology behind this, but the other people in the group almost serve as therapists. That's part of the healing process. It's very often people who maybe have some struggles socially. So by putting them or some of their struggles brought out social problems, or it was because of social problems, so by sitting in a room with others who have the same problem, it could be part of the therapy. It could be very therapeutic. It could be very helpful. So he was told, he didn't remember who he got the psak from. He got it like 10 years ago. He was told that group therapy would be okay. Right, but the question is, I guess the question would be, is it necessary? Right, so if it's necessary, meaning individual therapy, the therapist, right, here the other people might not be able to help me, or if I'm speaking to five people, I'm getting off my chest, I need to get off my chest to five people? Like, how do you determine what's considered getting off my chest and what's excessive? So, one, I'll give you a good example, I'll get to you in a second. A good example would be, we have these groups where people discuss parenting together. Very popular in Eretz Yisrael, they have these vadim, where you'll discuss parenting. It's not therapy. So in those settings, to talk about my children in front of other people, that's probably not okay.
At least they had that here.
That what?
Didn't they have?
No, so there are groups, let's say, of parents of people who are suffering from eating disorders, or you have parents of, or children of parents who have certain addictions. So I always assumed that was like groups.
The Augusta had a thing for, it was a whole series.
On what?
Parenting on raising children.
And people were sharing their stories?
The Kinder Fund was doing a parenting workshop. I'm not sure whether it's for problematic children or just blah, blah, blah.
No, I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm giving a shiur right now, and I want to talk about an issue. So to make the issue practical, I start telling about how my 17-year-old son. I don't have a 17-year-old son. But my 17-year-old son, when he did this terrible crime and he did this, so I want to bring on the point. I want to share it. How would you approach that? I don't know if there's a heter for me to tell Lashon Hara about my son to you so I could bring out a point in a shiur so together we could deal with the situation. If it's a therapy type of thing, if it's parents of children with eating disorders or with addictions or off the diet, and by me telling my story, that's going to help. So it's hard to know exactly when it'll be okay and when it'll be not okay. This heter of remove daga mi libo, of getting off the chest, is very tricky, because it's hard to know when is it really necessary. A lot of times we like, I think many people, when they start to talk Lashon Hara and someone stops it, I just need to get off my chest.
So it's
very easy, right?
Yeah, it's called Parenting with Radical Acceptance. And it's going to be held June 27th at 8 o'clock at O2.
Pass. I didn't. Can you email it to me before? I don't think I have my email. Maybe afterwards I'll give it to you.
But I'm just saying, you know. So what do you do with something like that? Because obviously, you know, the woman's going to come and speak, and when she finishes speaking, they're going to probably open it up to the floor for, you know.
I mean, I would hope that if it's information that reflects poorly on a child, more than happens to every single one of our children, you know, I would think that people would be smart. I gave a talk, a talk on parenting.
About my kids.
You say your friend's child has this issue.
Right, it's always my friend's child. I gave a parenting talk for Shari Tzion on a Saturday night. The people ask questions afterwards. So people ask questions about, like, my child is impossible during bedtime. I don't think that's all Shinar. If your child wasn't impossible during bedtime, there'd probably be a problem. There's probably a problem with your child. You know, how do you deal with the sibling rivalry? Okay, you know, my son. Okay, there's an aver to hit another Jew, right? There's an isser. So my one son hits his younger brother. I don't think that's. I'm not passing. I don't think that's Lashon Hara. I think That's actually Lashon Tov. That means your kid is normal and healthy, that he's hitting his sibling.
Your kid doesn't need a therapist.
Right. So it's hard to know. This heter, which the Chavetz Chaim says is efsher, is at times important. I think a person really has to be honest with themselves. And their people have different sensitivities. There's certain people who don't need to get things off their chest, and they could keep feelings inside. That happens. You know, certainly doctors and people in the medical field are very often trained not to need to talk, because most of what happens is bound by HIPAA. So often in their own lives, it's the same way. There's certain people, that's just the way they're wired. They need to talk to people. So it's probably better to have one person you talk to, one close friend, a family member, a rav, a therapist, so you don't have to like, oh, every time I see someone, you're at the supermarket, I'm getting it off my chest, the cashier, you know. That's probably not a good idea, but this does come up relatively frequently. I will stop here. I guess we'll continue next week. I'll collect the sheets so I can bring them next week. Next week, the Chavetz Chaim talks, well, he doesn't talk next week, he's still talking, what to do practically. You're at a meal, you're at a table, you're at a simcha, and people are talking Lashon Hara. So what, you get up and walk away, you consult the person. He has a suffix. Do you have to stand there and put your fingers in your ears and look like a crazy man? Do you have to do that? You're saving yourself for Mister. So that'll be next week's conversation with you. I'm sure there'll be follow-up questions. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me. If you could send me that email, that'd be great. Everyone should have a wonderful evening. I'll send an email about next week with the timing. I have to take a look what time Nuchem Arav is, and maybe we'll adjust the time.